The first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 19 through 22. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you by night. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, or your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. They are the shoot that I planted, the work of my hands, so that I might be glorified. The least of you shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and it's time I will accomplish it quickly. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second readings are a combination of things about mustard seeds. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. When they came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has epilepsy and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." And Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." This is the word of the Lord. I'd like to tell you about a city councilwoman. She was driving around, tending to her council business, and she drove down a street on her way to work, which she went every day, and she saw a tree stump. Now, this tree stump had been there for a while. They had had a wild storm a few weeks past, and it had caused most of the tree to fall, and leaving just massive branches all over the street. Well, of course, the city council came in and during the week and removed the branches. And they also had to take down the rest of the tree because it was just ruined. And nothing was left except a small stump less than a foot high. And that was it. The tree was finished, or so she thought. Then she drove back by the tree several months later and noticed signs of life. Fresh shoots were sprouting and new leaves were growing. The tree was still alive and it wasn't going to accept defeat. It had taken everything that the elements had dished out, been knocked around, and even cut down to almost nothing. And yet, it still came back. Sometimes we are like that tree stump. Sometimes we get knocked around or pushed over and maybe even cut to the ground. Sometimes we are the victims of genuine tragic circumstances. Sometimes of our own doing or just sometimes because life isn't fair. The councilwoman advised, when you are at your lowest moments, remember the tree stump. You can come back from the most humble of situations. There is life after the storm. Have faith. In the parable of the mustard seed, Jesus tells us something about mustard seeds and faith. First, Jesus tells us that the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. But second, that when it matures, it's a huge shrub. And then third, it gets so big that birds of the air nest in it. In other words, it does something for something else. And this is good news for any disciple or any group of disciples. It is especially good news if you've been cut down by circumstances, or if you're feeling a bit small or overwhelmed. And Jesus is telling us that when life gets too much for us, those with faith can overcome incredible odds, and new life can begin in them. And more than that, we can, in our own humble circumstances, become a blessing to others. And sometimes, so much so that we can move mountains. So the point of the parable is that small can be a lot when God is in the equation. With God, 1 + 1 can truly equal more than 2. It can equal 10 or 100 or 1,000. After all, that's why we tell the stories of Abraham and Moses, of Ruth and Esther. They were just one person, sometimes an insignificant person, with plenty of challenges and knockdowns. And yet they rocked their world. So even the smallest person can change the course of history. And that should be for us an encouraging thought. So what does the parable of the mustard seed mean for us in our time and our place? The hilarious Casey Stengel once said, "There comes a time in every man's life, and I have had many of them." Can you remember the times when a comment, a conversation, a choice changed the course of your life? Someone convinced you that you could go to college or apply for that job. Someone didn't laugh or even blink when you told them of your dreams. You moved somewhere because of a job or because of just plain wanderlust, and it was the making of you. Some choice or opportunity allowed you to reach for the brass ring and seize it, or meet the love of your life, or find a best friend in a neighbor or coworker or colleague or club member. Jesus would like us to know that God works most often through small things. That's why God keeps choosing in the scriptures the insignificant, the ordinary. And it's not just the people we think are the best and the brightest that God uses, but most often through the ordinary person who is faithfully paying attention to God and following the way of Jesus Christ. That's what being a disciple is. It's because God knows that the smallest thing can change everything. So Jesus would like us to understand that our sacrifice on his behalf, our gifts and time given to his mission, no matter how small they may seem in the great scheme of things, can be monumental when God is part of the equation. So pay attention and do not neglect to do that small kindness or sacrifice. For as a wise person once said, to the world you might be just one person, but to one person you may be the world. A grandmother tells this story of a small town grocer in Idaho that illustrates this saying. She says, "I was at the corner grocery store buying some early potatoes. I noticed a small boy, ragged but clean, hungrily appraising a basket of freshly picked green peas." I don't know if you remember those old green grocers where you'd walk in, and it's pretty cool. And pondering the peas, I couldn't help overhearing a conversation between the grocer, Mr. Miller, and the ragged boy. "Hello, Barry, how are you today?" "Oh, Mr. Miller, fine, thank you. Just admiring them peas. They sure look good." "They are good, Barry. How's your ma?" "Fine, getting stronger all the time." "Good, anything I can help you with?" "No, sir, just looking at the peas." Mr. Miller went over to the boy and said, "Would you like to take some home?" "No, sir, got nothing to pay with them with." "Well, what have you got to trade me for some of those peas?" All I got is my prize marble here. Oh, good, let me see it. Here it is. She's a dandy. I can see that, Barry. Only one thing is this one is blue, and I sort of go for red marbles. Do you have a red one like that at home? Well, not exactly, but almost. I'll tell you what, you take this sack of peas home with you, and the next trip, let me look at that red marble, Miller told the boy. Sure will. Thanks, Mr. Miller. And Mrs. Miller, who had been standing nearby, came over to help me. And with a smile, she said, there are two other boys like him in town. They're all three in very poor circumstances. And Jim just loves to bargain with them for peas and apples, tomatoes, potatoes, whatever. And when they come back with their red marbles, and they always do, he decides he doesn't like red after all. And he sends them home with a bag of produce for a green marble or an orange one. I left the store smiling to myself, impressed with this man. A short time later, I moved to Colorado, and I never forgot the story of this man and the boys and their bartering with marbles. And several years went by, and recently I had occasion to visit some friends in my old hometown, and while I was there, I learned that Mr. Miller had died recently. They were having his visitation that evening, and knowing that my friends wanted to go, I went with them. And upon our arrival at the funeral home, we fell into line to meet the relatives and offer whatever words of comfort we could. Ahead of us in line were three young men. One was in an army uniform, and the other two wore dark suits with crisp white shirts, all very professional looking. They approached Mrs. Miller, gave her a kiss on the cheek, and smiling, they moved on to the casket. Her misty light blue eyes followed them at each, one by one. Each young man stopped briefly and placed his own warm hand over the cold, pale hand in the casket, and each left wiping their eyes. Our turn came to meet Mrs. Miller, and I reminded her of watching her husband bartering groceries for marbles many years ago. And with her eyes glistening, she took my hand and led me to the casket. Those three young men that just left, those were the three boys I told you about. They just told me how they appreciated the things Jim traded them. Now at last, when Jim can no longer change his mind about the color or the size of the marble, they came to pay their debt. We never had a great deal of wealth in this world, she confided, but right now Jim would consider himself the richest man in Idaho. And with loving gentleness, she pulled back the folds of the satin inside the casket, and nestled in the satin folds were three exquisite red marbles. Sometimes you and I, because we are known as Christians, have to lead the way. People are watching us and waiting to see if we are the people we say we are. There are those who want to point to our mistakes, and of course we make mistakes, or our hesitation and say, ah, they're hypocrites, they're frauds, they're phonies. But of course they just want to justify their own laziness or greed or injustice. And every time we fail to act justly or kindly when others are watching, we kill the seed of faith in others and in ourselves. But sometimes our small acts of compassion and justice can move mountains. Mr. Miller had faith that with God, he could move the mountain of poverty in his community. He believed that these young boys could be something. Life had cut them down. But God used the mustard seed of Mr. Miller's faith to start ferrying the mountain toward the sea and change everything for them. So remember to have faith and courage to do right and act kindly and forgive. Even the smallest Christian act or word can mean a great deal in a hurting world. There is a card we can send or an honest compliment we can give. There is the careless word that we can withhold and a criticism we can choose not to share. We can reach out to a neighbor or drive as if Jesus was in the car with us. That would be something. We can support a good cause with our time and money. We can listen without judgment to others. This is the message and mission of Jesus Christ, and it does not need a large church or a program to do it. Love, forgiveness, acting with justice, promoting peace. This is what we're called to do. And we can do it in here, anywhere we go. There are lots of people who get cut down in life. We can get cut down in life until we are but a stump at the foot of the mighty mountain. But with faith in God and in the way of Jesus Christ, the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains that crush us and others. Amen.